All right, well, we're going to be in the Bible today, so if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Luke chapter 1, the classic Christmas text. If you don't have a Bible, they're scattered around the room. You can grab one, or if you're going to use your electronic device, we'll be using the New King James Translation, so you can follow along with us. Yesterday, in the service, we talked about the birth of Christ. It was a Christmas message yesterday. And one of the things I said is that the birth of Christ was a message to humanity. It was God sending a message to humanity. And it was the message was that God wanted to save us. He wanted to save us from the fact that, you know, that most of mankind was wandering astray. In fact, all of mankind was wandering astray. And he wanted to fix that. And so he sent Jesus, and he sent him. In a remarkable way, he sent his son, God the Son, as a newborn babe in Bethlehem. Radical. And he did it because God wants to be in an intimate relationship. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. Almighty Creator God wants to be in a relationship with us. Amazing. But for that message to benefit us, we have to receive it. He sent it to everyone. It was a universal group text to everyone. But we have to open it. We have to respond to it. And we talked about that yesterday. I'm going to talk a little bit more. This is a Christmas Eve service, so we're going to talk about the birth of Christ again. We're going to talk about that amazing story of his birth. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about what we ought to be doing with that message. At a Christmas Eve service, we typically get people that know Jesus fairly well, right? Everybody here knows Jesus, right? If you don't, see Pastor John right after the service. We'll fix you right up. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into this amazing story, and then look at what we ought to be doing with it individually. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather. As we gather to remember this amazing thing that Jesus, you stepped down out of heaven because you love us so much that you couldn't imagine spending eternity without us. And so you did the unthinkable, the remarkable, the amazing, the miraculous. And you came down and you lived on this earth and then died for us. And we take this time, this little bit of time, to refocus our heart and mind on the reality of that, the truth of that, before we get into the celebration tomorrow, before we get into the presents and the family and all the drama and all the trying to get the food right, all that stuff, Lord, let us recenter our mind and heart for just a moment on the reality of what all this is about, that we might be able to do that right, that we can celebrate with great abandon, but to do it with that center where it belongs, with you right where you belong, in the middle of it all. So we give this time to you now. We ask, Lord, that you would minister to us what you would say to your church, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas, the annual celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, and it's right for us to celebrate. I think we should celebrate. I think there are some amazing, beautiful traditions that are associated with Christmas. Love a lot of the different traditions. And you talk to different families, and they all have something different that they do and some amazing things. And I've shared one of the things we do at our house. We hide baby Jesus every year. We hide baby Jesus and make the kids find baby Jesus before they can open their presents. The kind of idea the little ones remind you, it's not all about the presents. There's a bigger thing there. And we read the Christmas story before we open the presents. And we talk about, you know, what is it? What is it about? And everybody's got these different traditions. You know, when it comes to the mealtime, we all have these, you know, a certain kind of meal that we like. You know, my mom likes ham. You know, our family likes turkey. And so guess what we do? Ham and turkey. And, you know, it's like we can do the whole thing. We all have these different things. And they're beautiful and they're amazing. And we ought to love them and enjoy them and just relish them, but not lose sight of what it's all about. That's one of the reasons I love this service. It's about recentering us on the truth, on why we do this thing we call Christmas. It's not about all that stuff. Let's enjoy all that stuff. It's just not about that stuff. So we're going to get in. We're going to go through the story. And I'm going to read the whole story to you. Hope you'll be patient with me. I know you could read it yourself, and you probably have read it, and you've heard other guys like me read it. Matter of fact, if you were here yesterday, you heard me read it yesterday. I'm going to read it again. Bear with me. The background to this story is Mary, Jesus' brother, is living with her fiancé in the city of Nazareth. Before they're married, she gets pregnant. So let's pick that up in chapter 1 of verse 30 of Luke. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." You can jump over to Luke 2. We refer to this event, that event, as the Immaculate Conception. Mary was a virgin when she conceived by the Holy Spirit, and God himself miraculously made her pregnant. Everything about this story is miraculous. Everything about it is amazing. But one of the things we got to remember is that all of this stuff was going in the tiny little town of Nazareth. Nobody knew, hardly anybody, people didn't go to Nazareth because it was kind of a backwater place. It was kind of a nothing place. And people didn't really think very highly of it. So all this stuff, there's a miracle is happening. God the Son, God in the flesh, is born in this tiny little nothing place. We might think of a little town nearby. I'm not going to name them because I always get in trouble when I name towns. You know, call them nothing towns in the area. But you can say it out loud if you want. It won't bother me. Somebody's thinking of someplace. Jesus comes in to this world, unlike any other person ever, though many parts of the story are very common and ordinary. Let's pick it up in Luke 2, verse 1. It says this, "And it came to pass in those days," excuse me, "that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." You know, one of the really cool, fascinating parts of this whole thing, because we all know where Jesus is born, right? Somebody say it out loud. Bethlehem. We know that. You know, the Bible predicted that in advance. It said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, the fascinating part about that is he was conceived in Nazareth, which is 70 miles away. There was no reason on earth that Joseph and Mary would go down to Bethlehem. Not when she's 8 9/10 pregnant, months pregnant. There's no reason, there's no way that they would do that. But the Bible said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Also said he'd be raised in Nazareth. And so he's where he was supposed to be, but God needed to move him down to Bethlehem so he'd be born in Bethlehem. So God, miraculously, supernaturally, sovereignly over the universe, caused the census to take place to move Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem so that this child would be born exactly where the Bible said he would be born. I always ask the question, did it happen that way because the Bible said it, or did the Bible say it because that's the way it was going to happen? Huh? Think about that. The answer is yes. So God arranges the census. Verse 4. "Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. By anyone's definition, Jesus is the most influential person ever to be born. Whether you believe in him or not. You know, you can say that you don't believe in Jesus, but you know about him. You know stuff about him because the whole world has been impacted by the birth of this miraculous baby. Here he is, born to poor parents in this, and Bethlehem was really not much bigger than Nazareth. They're both little tiny towns. Bethlehem is still a tiny little town in Israel. In a super humble environment. He's in an animal's, that most believe it was a cave. And for a bassinet, they're using an animal's food trough. God the Son was born in the most humble environments. And that is so important for us. Because most of us are not that special. We're just ordinary people. If Jesus had been born in the palace at Jerusalem, he wouldn't have related to any of us. Most of us would have been, we would have seen him as somebody beyond us. But because he was born in that humble environment, in that humble way, to those humble parents, he can be to us exactly what we need him to be. Love that. Most of the world is oblivious to that event. Just as today, most people that will celebrate this holiday that they call Christmas, or whatever they're calling it, whatever they might want to call it, you know, they may be oblivious to what the meaning of it is. Just as the whole world around Bethlehem, including most of the city of Bethlehem, has no idea what just happened. As this little child is born there, miraculously born, but it was too big an event to go on silently, to go on without some announcement. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Can you say, yeah, that makes sense? You know, they're out there, it's quiet, it's dark, they're just doing their thing. They've done the same exact thing for years, and nothing ever happens. All of a sudden, it is just bright as noonday sun, and this being is standing before them. And most of us would say, I'd love to see an angel. You know, the part of me that says, yeah, I'd love to see an angel, but if you study the Bible long enough, you say, wait a minute, I'm not sure I actually want to see one. Somehow they're terrifying, and I don't understand exactly what that means because they're perfectly righteous and good, and yet They're so awesome that they instill terror in people who see them. They are so perfect, which makes you wonder, what would it be like to stand in the presence of God? Verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to those people who come to Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Absolutely. That's not what your Bible says? Okay. Of great joy, which will be to all people. All people means who? Everyone. Whether they believe it or not, it's still offered to them. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, as if one angel was not enough, there was with the angel a multitude, and with that you read thousands, which may mean actually multiples of thousands, of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's a whole message in the reality that this angel made this announcement to shepherds. The message was simple. All the world needs a Savior. The whole world needs a Savior. And because God loves us, loves each and every person on this planet, everyone, he sent Jesus to be that Savior. John 3:16, we know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can't even imagine this, you know, being one of those shepherds and sitting there in the darkness, maybe around a campfire, and suddenly there they are, all this heavenly host. And then they're just as quickly as they show up, they're gone. I'm thinking, you know, now what do? God still breaks into the reality of humans. He still breaks through the noise and the chaos and the busyness of life and speaks to his people. He still breaks in. He still interrupts humanity with messages. He says things to us. He does things around us, and he wants us to notice. And when God speaks to us in any way, in whatever way he does, and he does it in lots of different ways, in any way that he does, he wants us to respond. He expects us to respond. If he goes to the trouble of saying something to you, he's doing it for a reason. And when he speaks, he wants to do something either in us or through us. In the response of the shepherds, we're going to look at in a moment, I see three things that we ought to keep in mind if we do hear from God. And if you're listening, you will hear from God. Three things that we ought to do when God gives us a message. At the very least, he's given all of us at least one message, that he sent a Savior into the world to save us from our sin. What do we do with that message? First, find out if it's true. Find out if it's true. In verse 15, read that. So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The shepherds confirmed what the angel said. Now, they believed what he said, but they went and confirmed it, made sure that it was actually true. I think that's a great lesson for all of us, that when God speaks to us, that we ought to confirm it, make sure. Now, we can't go to Bethlehem to see the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, right? He's not there anymore. Where do we go? We go to the book. We go to the book. We see Jesus on every single page of the book. When God gives you a message, first place you ought to go is to the book. Read the Bible. It's in there. If it's a message from God, he'll confirm it in his book. Second thing we see the shepherds doing, find someone to tell. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known, that means they told everybody they could find, the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The single greatest thing in human history had just taken place. And they had to tell somebody. Is it any less important today than it was 2,000 years ago? Is it any less exciting today than it was 2,000 years ago? Shouldn't we tell somebody? The answer is yes, we should. You can tell how excited someone is about anything, right? You know, if they're really excited about it, what are they going to do? They're going to tell people about it. They're tweeting it. They're, you know, Facebook posting it, or they're Instagram storying it. They're doing something. They're getting the message out, right? I mean, am I right? Am I the only one that does that? No, people do that. You know, something's exciting. You know, for us, it's our grandkids usually. Something our grandkids are doing. We're doing something. We're letting the message out. Why? Because it's exciting to us. And we figure, you know, because we're such amazing people, that if it's exciting to us, it'll be exciting to you too. It's exciting to Tia usually, so we're thankful for that. Find somebody to tell. Tell someone. The Savior of the world was born. We celebrate Christmas. We're celebrating the greatest single event in human history. Savior of the world came into the world. He came, was born, and lived, and died. The third thing the shepherds do, find someone to share it with. Now, this is different than telling someone. Verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. The shepherds went back to their fields. And as they're going back, they're hanging out together and they're glorifying God and praising God and talking about everything that they'd seen. They didn't go back. They were not the same people as they were when they started that night. And they gathered together and glorified God and praised him for what they had seen and heard. They all had the message in common. And we come to gather together on a night like this, that's what we're doing. We have a message in common. We have the same message that they had. And we come together, it ought to be a time of glorifying God and praising him. And brothers and sisters, what I'm going to tell you for tomorrow, when you're celebrating the birth of Christ, it ought to be the same thing. You're gathering together around the singular message of who this person is. And it ought to be something we do as an exercise of glorifying God and praising him. So when you're thinking about arguing with your mother-in-law, think about that for just a second. I'm preaching to myself right now, so just know that. I love my mother-in-law. And we are gathering together, and it ought to be a time of remembering what took place, praising God for it. Now, we don't have to get all religious about it, and we don't have to make it some, you know, uber spiritual experience, but just make Jesus real in your life. Let it be real. We all have the same message. That's the story of Christmas. It's the story of a miracle. Think about this for a second. The Bible teaches us that Jesus existed eternally as God. He's always existed with God the Father as God the Son, always. Mankind, for who knows how long, has aspired to and thought they could be God. Have you ever noticed that? There are religions that exist that teach that you can be God. That you can have a higher level of consciousness, you can achieve some divine state. Right? I mean, you've heard of some of those things. None of them talk about, you know, I'd like to be, you know, an ant or an animal. They said they might be, you know, they might be reincarnated as one, but they don't want that. God decided, chose to step down out of deity to become a man. How remarkable is that? The conception and birth of Jesus is the miracle of God becoming man. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus never stopped being God, but for the time he was on this earth, he took on the form of a man. He was a man, lived a life as a man, a miracle beyond anything humanly possible. I'd like to take just a couple more minutes and then we'll be done. Discuss this message of Christmas. Why would Jesus leave heaven to walk among humanity? Why would he do that? It's because in eternity past, Jesus and the Father decided that they were going to create beings that were made in their image, to be a reflection of their glory, to be the object of their love, and to be the communicators of that love to this world. And so they did, and they made us. We were created by God to be loved by God and to share that love with others so that others could see God through us. But something happened that prevents God from loving us the way that he wants to, prevents that love from coming out of us and into others. And we call that thing sin. In 1 John 4:9, it says this, "And this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God because we didn't before him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Propitiation means he was the substituting sacrifice. He took our place. The message of Christmas is that we can be forgiven by God through Christ. That's the message of Christmas. You know, the birth of Christ, as amazing as it was, is just how Christ ended up on the cross. He had to be born, he had to live so that he could die for our sins. So what do we do with that? First, we got to check it out. Get into the book. Make sure that it's true for you. It's true. And it is true for you, but you got to make sure of that for yourself. Check it out for yourself. And then you need to tell someone. Tell someone. Tell someone about what Christmas is really about. Don't preach at them. Nobody wants to be preached at. Not even preachers want to be preached at. Just tell them. And as you gather tonight or tomorrow, just remember, glorify God. Praise him for what you have seen and heard and what you know to be true, that Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Amen?